Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17 again this morning, but I want to remind you of a verse from the New Testament, one of the several places in the New Testament where we read about Elijah. In James chapter 5, we read this: "Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." Heavenly Father, help us to believe this, your word. Elijah was a man just like us. A lot of times when we read the stories in the Bible about things that God did in and through the lives of various folks, we feel as if somehow we're detached. You know, we're just spectators, just onlookers. That stuff that happened a long time ago, and those people must not have had the same kind of feelings and pressures and so forth that we do. That is nonsense. The Bible goes to great lengths to make it clear that these folks were like us, including flawed, including sinners. One of the things that I love about the Scriptures is that when you read about the great heroes of the faith, you not only see their faith and God's grace, but you see where they messed up. And they all messed up. Men and women of God made tragic mistakes. Repeatedly, we see that they did the wrong thing instead of the right thing. And yet, in the midst of it all, God chose not only to forgive them, but to use them for his glory. Now, that is not a license for us to sin, but it is a reminder not to believe the lies of the accuser of the brethren when he tries to tell us that, oh, well, you've messed up, so God can't really do anything with you. If that were the case, God could do nothing with any of us. Elijah was a man just like us. And we need to keep that in mind as over the next couple of days we continue to look at these events from the life of Elijah. He was a man just like us. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read about his time living in the Kereth Ravine. Verse 7, we saw this yesterday. "Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food.' So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?' As she was going to get it, he called, 'And bring me, please, a piece of bread.' 'As surely as the Lord your God lives,' she replied, 'I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die.' Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And he's holding now, why wasn't it raining? I mean, the reason the brook went dry was because there had been no rain. And without rain, without water, you couldn't get a crop. And without a crop, you run out of food. People were starving. And Elijah was the guy who had prayed that it wouldn't rain. Don't you think it's time to pray for rain? I mean, for goodness sake, the brook went dry. Now I'm going to this place to stay with this woman, and she's not really got any food. How about if we just pray for rain? He was praying what God told him to pray. And he would wait until God told him to pray for rain before he prayed for rain. He wasn't doing this because it was comfortable. He wasn't doing this because it was popular. He was doing this because he was the servant of the Lord, the one who stood in waiting on the Lord. So, Elijah is living in a time of drought that was the answer to his prayers. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go at once to Zarephath and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." God had already spoken to the widow. It wasn't just Elijah who was getting a message. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, the widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" Remember, water at this point was very valuable. So he's asking for a little water in a jar so that he may have a drink. And as she was going to get it, she didn't say no. As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." Well, now that's just too much. That's too much to ask. I'm sorry. Has anybody here ever been bothered by Jesus' attitude toward the widow who put in all that she had to live on? I mean, has anybody here ever read that and thought, gee, we would not approve of that today? If some widow put her last bit of money, all she had to live on, into the offering at a religious institution, which, by the way, was run by a bunch of corrupt people. I mean, think about who was running the temple in Jesus' day. This is not good folks. They're a bunch of liars who are going to have Jesus killed unjustly. That's who took up the collection. And Jesus spoke approvingly of this woman putting in all she had. I think somebody needs to explain to Jesus that that's not good, okay? She should not have been putting the last of, I mean, if she'd been able to divide it up somehow and do a fraction or something, or, you know, maybe volunteer some time, but the idea that she would give the last of her money, all she had to live on, Jesus said, all she had to live on, put it in the offering. I just don't think that's good. I mean, she was a widow. Who's going to take care of her? This is just wrong. Churches are run like big business and poor people are encouraged to give. It's just wrong. Jesus says, no, they're not doing the right thing with the money, but she's doing the right thing with her heart. Because even though that's all she had to give, she had it and she wanted to give. And she gave it not to the people at the temple, she gave it to God. Let me tell you, what you give to God is not a waste, ever. The woman who broke the alabaster vial, poured out perfume that was worth a year's wages, that wasn't a waste. Some of Jesus' disciples thought it was, and they said so. One who was extremely vocal about it was the treasurer, Judas, who said, you know, this could have been sold and the money used to feed the poor. The Bible says he didn't say that because he cared about the poor. He said it because he was an embezzler. There are all kinds of reasons why you might be tempted to say that the widow shouldn't give all she had. But I'll tell you the number one reason I don't like it is because of what it says about me. If Jesus liked the fact that she gave everything away, he might like it if I did that. And I don't want to entertain that thought. This business of go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven, that was said to one person. Surely that doesn't apply to anybody else. Let me tell you, folks, nothing you give to the Lord is ever wasted. Because God looks on the heart. So this widow, I mean, she wasn't the only person living in Zarephath. God could have sent Elijah to stay with somebody else, but God sent Elijah to stay with this woman. And what seemed like an unreasonable burden turned out to be an extraordinary blessing. Because she only had enough ingredients to make a little bit of bread, and then she was going to be all out of food. And she and her son were expecting to die of starvation. Not an easy way to go. So imagine if that's your circumstance and you get a message from God, I'm about to send a prophet to your home and you're to feed him and take care of him. And you go out to gather sticks, and there's a prophet sitting there. And he says, could you please get me some water to drink? So you go to do it, and as you're leaving to do it, he says, and please bring me some bread. What would you think if you're this woman? Oh, no! As surely as the Lord your God lives, I can't do what you ask. It is unreasonable. You're asking me to do something that is beyond my resources. 5,000 men plus women and children. No place to get food nearby. It would take a year's wages. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. This is crazy. I can't do this. But it was God's plan. Because when you act in obedience to the Lord, he takes care of the rest. All that God asks of us is to trust and obey. Now see, I think that's a great wall plaque. Trust and obey. But when God puts me in a situation where obedience requires enormous trust, I get uncomfortable. Do you? Trust and obey. God spoke to the widow. God spoke to Elijah. Both of them obeyed. And God miraculously supplied food the whole time that Elijah lived with her. I love happy endings. But that's not the end, is it? It's not what happened. Things are going along. Every day's a miracle. Every day she would get out the flour for that day and God would provide. It's the manna principle again. God would provide day after day, always enough. Not a bunch of extra, but there's always enough. We use what we thought was going to be all of it and it seems to be the same amount still there. How does God do that? Well, it's going along nicely until the boy gets sick. And he doesn't just get sick. He stops breathing. And he's dead. And his mom is beside herself. She said to Elijah, verse 18, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Oh, I didn't know about her sin. What was her sin? I don't know. But she did. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but many of us have had bad things happen to us. And when those things happened, we felt like, oh, this is because of my sin. Why'd you feel that way? Because everybody's sinned. And everybody has some sins that we feel worse about than others. Right? But, you know, I mean, you know, we just have these little, it's like not a big deal. It's not a big deal. We wouldn't be happy to see it on the news, but we could still go out in public. Okay? But everybody also has something that the devil uses as a club to say, man, if people knew that, they would not view you the same way. They would not believe that you are worthy of their friendship. Well, some people would because they're scoundrels, but everybody has something, maybe from years ago. Let me tell you something. It's really good news. Jesus paid it all. My sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Why was that written? Because a lot of us, even though intellectually we know it's not true, viscerally we still operate as if Jesus paid almost everything. You know? I mean, he took care of this and this and this and this and this, but I'm really not sure that this was covered. Our sin is actually worse than we realize. Okay? It's not that we feel too guilty. It's that most of us have never really come to grips with how bad we are. But the purpose is not to wallow in guilt. It's to realize that no matter what you've done, Jesus died to save sinners. And he doesn't just forgive some of our sins, he forgives all our sins. If we confess our sins, he not only forgives us, he cleanses us. Hallelujah.
Okay, but now I'm nervous that maybe what if I didn't remember to confess my sin? Does that mean that he won't forgive it?
Do you remember when the prodigal was coming home from the far country? He had a speech prepared. He was going to confess to his father and apologize and say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Let me just come on as one of your hired men. That was the speech. He rehearsed it. He planned it. He pictured his dad and how his dad might respond. He's hoping for mercy. When he comes into view, his father runs to him. And his son tries to make the speech and he doesn't get to finish because the father's too busy announcing a party. His father wasn't saying, all right, what do you have to say for yourself? I'm going to listen. If you do an adequate job of apologizing, then I will consider what my next steps will be. No, his father had forgiven him long ago. The father's heart is a heart of forgiveness. It's not about getting God to forgive. It's about receiving the forgiveness that is there. Jesus died to save sinners. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world could be saved. So, this woman, the whole time she's been there living with this guy, seeing miracles day after day, but now her son has died, and she feels like, see, I knew it. God's got it out for me. I've done bad things, and God knows, and so now, just when I thought things were going to be okay, instead, God kills my son. Now suppose you're Elijah. No hint here that he had any warning from God. So he says, give me your son. And he took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, laid him on his bed, and then cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. Oh, Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die? Lord, did you do this? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, oh, Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. And the Lord heard Elijah's cry. Let me remind you, Elijah was a man just like us. The whole point of what is said in the book of James is that God will listen to your prayers too. Yes, he heard Elijah, but he hears you. You may not feel it, but the fact is, our God inclines his ear to those who are broken and contrite in spirit. Now, if you're like the Pharisee who went up to the temple and prayed to himself, oh God, I thank you that I am not as other men. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, and I do not do that, I do not do that. I'm not like that fellow over there. Don't think your prayer is going to be heard. Doesn't say God hears everybody all the time. God knows everything. But he doesn't listen to the proud. He doesn't listen to those who are still clinging to sin. But to those who are saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God hears that prayer and God answers it. So the Lord heard Elijah's cry and the boy's life returned to him and he lived. Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother and said, look, your son's alive. And then this woman says something that I find, on the one hand, surprising, and on the other hand, something I can relate to. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you're a man of God. Well, what'd you think about all those other miracles? I mean, what was that, lady? I mean, You've seen it day after day after day after day where the oil and the flour never ran out. Did you think that was just some magic trick? Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. She received a wonderful gift. This woman, who had repeatedly obeyed, now truly believes. And that, folks, is even better. That's even better than having her son back.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.